Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Real Fake Baseball for Friends with Fantasy Benefits. And tonight, me and Walter have a guest tonight. So, Walter, I'm going to let the guest get dibs on his intro first. And that is going to be Steve Paulo tonight. And his Twitter is at Steve Paulo, but he's really trying to get his at Pastime Labs Twitter going right now. And that is going to feature his Tomy projections, which is what he's coming out with right now. So, Steve, how you doing tonight? Ready to talk some baseball and some projections?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Paul. Thanks for asking. Yeah, let's definitely get into it.
Yeah, for sure. And Walter, of course, is here as always. So, Walter, say something so people think you're alive.
Yeah, we have the Steve.
All right, that's enough, Walter. We don't really need to get into your night as well. We're just here to talk with Steve because he's got some great projections going with his website. And why don't you just get into the Tomy projections a little bit? Tell us the acronym, the meaning, or as you were getting into before the podcast, the backronym, which we are all just exhilarated to hear about right now. And I can't wait to hear you get into this.
Yeah, so it's a backronym, which is just very nerdy wordplay for sort of saying I came up with the word I wanted the acronym to be, and then figured out what would the longer words need to be to make that work. And I didn't settle on Tomy initially, but I knew I wanted it to be like a player name. So that stands for the Team Handicapping and Odds Modeling Engine, so Tomy. And I sort of settled on the name Tomy. First of all, just because I always liked Jim Tomy, dating back to the beginning of his career. I thought he was a great player, obviously Hall of Famer, you know, and always seemed like a good guy. You know, you never heard terrible stories about Jim Tomy, right? And so when I realized that because I'm dealing with team level, you know, wagering data, that handicapping would be a good word to fit in there. You start with TH, team handicapping, and go, well, where can I go from here? There's not that many choices. Thatcher is far too long. I don't even know if there was a ball player named Thatcher I would care about, but so that's how the name Tomy projections came along. I had other names for it in the past when I sort of did this last year for the 2018 season, although not to the extent that it exists now. And it was called like the run line back then, which is again just a baseball wagering term. But yeah, so that was how the name came about. But what it is essentially is looking at what a team is likely to do in this season, not necessarily on a player by player level, right? Like we think of projections and we think of Pecota or Steamer or Zips or whatever, where you're projecting individual players who's going to hit this many home runs and this batting average and this ERA and whatever. And I'm not doing that. What I'm looking at is, okay, the Houston Astros did this last year. What are they likely to do this year? Right. And obviously doing that for every team. And the way I do this is actually lifted pretty directly from a book that I read a couple years ago, came out, I think maybe as many as 6 or 7 years ago now, called Trading Bases by Joe Pita. And Joe was a hedge fund data guy and trader, and then got hurt significantly, bad car accident, got laid up, and as a baseball fan had to like fill time while he couldn't work, and sort of started putting the ideas and sort of methods that go into dealing with the stock market on a very grand scale and put it towards baseball, and specifically baseball wagering.
Right.
And what he determined was that, like, you can, you know, obviously every Vegas casino and you know, offshore betting market that exists, they have experts, they have really smart people coming up with what we call the team totals numbers, right? The over under number that you can bet a team is going to win more wins than or win fewer wins than, right?
Right.
They have really smart people figuring those numbers out. But that doesn't mean that they're perfect. And it doesn't mean that there aren't opportunities to like figure out where you might be smarter than those people.
And eventually make some money.
Well, that's, yes, exactly. The goal here, I mean, obviously what I'm providing, Paul, is for entertainment purposes only. And that probably needs to be plastered on every page of my website, and it's not yet. But rest assured, the eventual goal, yes, is to be able to make some money. So do you want me to, I can go into the whole process if you want.
Yeah, I mean, basically what you're talking about is like you're like the game theory, right? It's not just the individual players, it's what the team is going to do, like when they're going to put a certain pitcher in to keep the lead, or why don't you get into a little bit of that, how you come to the actual numbers?
So I wish it was that advanced and smart. Unfortunately, it's not. It's not taking into consideration things like manager preferences and things like that. There's actually a very good reason for that, and that is that they're basically impossible to predict. Even people who have been managing for a long time, like Mike Socha or Bruce Bochy or somebody, like, you're still not sure. You can't guess for sure what they're going to do in certain situations, right? But what we can do is we can look at, well, this is what this team, this roster full of players did last year. And we can strip out, not just look at the win-loss records, right? Like, I don't care as much about the fact that the Astros won 102 or 103 games last year. I want to know how many games they should have won.
Right.
And that's kind of a funky thing, right? A few things that, hopefully most of your listeners who are very smart baseball people know or have heard before, a team tends to score right around half as many runs as they get hits, right? For every two hits, on average, you'll score one run. That's just how it usually breaks down, ballpark. But the details of that and the ways in which that happens, especially within the context of a single game, vary wildly. And the example I always love to use is, like, in our FAQs when you look at the site, the example I love to use is, like, if you tell me that a team hit, nine hits in a game, well, I'm going to assume that they scored, four or five runs, right? I mean, that sounds like a really good game.
Right.
But if that team hit one single in each of the nine innings that they were at bat, and that's it, well, they probably didn't score. They definitely didn't score any runs if there were no walks or anything else, right? That's a shutout. They just got shut out.
Yeah.
So how do we deal with this idea that, like, a hit is not a hit is not a hit, right? And a run is not a run is not a run. The 10th run scored in a 10-1 blowout and the 10th run scored in a 10-9 squeaker are two totally different runs.
Right.
Right. They mean very different things.
Yep.
And it's not easy to do. Like, we a lot of times we call this leverage, right? Like high leverage situations or high leverage runs or like high leverage hits. Okay. But that's not easy to figure out. So that's a long way of saying what does exist out there in a way to figure this out is base runs, which, as far as I can tell, appears to have been created by the folks at FanGraphs. At least that's where I found all the information about base runs. Mm-hmm. So I want to at least give credit to that's where I found the info about. But the idea behind base runs is that it tries to look at what should this team have done based on how many runs should they have scored based on, like, the hits they got.
Yeah.
Right. So if you strip out all of the, like, situational sort of advantageous things that, like, yeah, maybe you could argue some teams are better at doing consistently than others. Like, the reality of it is a lot of that stuff's random. And what randomly goes your way one day is just going to randomly go against you the next.
Right.
And so I look at last season for each team. I look at their peripheral stats. I look at things obviously like hits and total bases and, walks and pitchers giving up home runs and whatever. And I figure out their base runs for each team. Base runs scored and base runs allowed.
Yep.
And then we have to figure out, well, okay, what does that mean for this coming year? And that's the part where, and this is kind of the fun part, is like the model is still sort of in flux. Like, I'm improving it every day.
Okay.
And one of the things I'm dealing with right now is how to really properly take a look at who has left that team, who has come to that team, and what effect are they going to have?
Okay. So the individual gets into it a little bit there.
Yes.
I was going to say, have you updated it since Manny Machado signed?
So the interesting thing, I updated it since Machado was announced, but I think they only finally got to the official, like, signatory this today.
Yeah, today.
So technically the system runs, I think, at 3 a.m. Pacific. And so technically it will suck that data up and try to figure out what happens with Machado and the Padres then.
Yeah. Cause that's massive. They have, like, a hole at third base, and then you just plug in a guy like that. I would guess their win total increases pretty significantly.
I mean, you would think, I think Machado is probably looking at, something in the neighborhood of plus 70 or 80 runs between his glove and his bat. So that should in some sense be worth 7 to 8 wins, but I don't think that's going to shake out quite that way. It's a little esoteric. Like, it still doesn't quite, I'm still not 100% sure. This is kind of what I was getting into, is like, I'm trying to factor in fielding, and fielding is, like, a really hard thing to, like, quantify, right? And in fact, I noticed it, Walter, you and I were talking on Twitter, and I noticed it when JT Realmuto had no effect on the Phillies. And I was like, well, that seems odd. Like, I would think that there would have been at least some effect. And so I tweaked the model a little and tried to make a better sense of what happens defense coming in and going out. But when I did it, the model wasn't smart enough to realize yet, and this is the improvement I'm going to be working on in the next probably 48 hours, is not smart enough to know right now when a player leaves, did that player actually contribute last year? And the example I'll give is that catchers, just by their nature on average, have a large number of fielding runs. They're involved in like every pitch. They're involved in every play. They tend to, even below average for a catcher, catchers will still have a positive effect in when it comes to preventing runs being scored. And the Astros lost four players in the offseason who technically qualify a catcher. McCann, Maldonado, I'm not even sure who else, but not everyone contributed, right? But the system still took all their fielding runs away. And all of a sudden the Astros dropped from their 98 win projection right now when I did this to about an 84 win projection, which is clearly smelly. Like, that's clearly like not what's going to happen, in my opinion. So it's something that I'm still trying to kind of hammer out exactly how the individual players coming and going will affect things. And this is why on the site I've included the history. If you look at like an individual team's page, you can see the history of their projected wins. And for most of the teams, it sits kind of in this, you know, it goes up or down a few here or there, because I simulate things every time. Anytime anybody moves throughout all of MLB, I re-simulate the entire season, because who knows what kind of effect that could have, you know, on other teams in a guy's division or whatever. But every once in a while you'll see sort of a drop or a rise, and that's when the model underwent some kind of change. And the goal is basically to get to as smart a point as possible before the season begins, obviously, because that's when this information will be most useful to other people.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of your projections from last year right now, and I mean, right. Like, these are pretty good. Like, Houston Astros, actual record, 103-59. You had them projected at 102-60. Yeah. Like, you got the Cardinals dead on.
Dead to rights on the Cardinals.
Yep, Blue Jays within 3 wins, Yankees within 5 wins. I mean, Padres within 3 wins. So a lot of these teams you were pretty solid on already last year, and now you're telling us that not only have you improved it for this year already, but you're still working on it, and you're going to be working on it within the next 48 hours, as you said, and you're going to continue to work on it through the season. So, I mean, if people don't want to check this out already within the first 10 minutes of the podcast, like, I don't really know what you're going to do at this point.
Right.
Like, you're going to make some money on this site. Like, if not anyone else, at least you will, because you're going to be reading.
It's for fun. It's all for fun, Paul.
It's all entertainment.
It's come legal on. In my state. It's not legal in your state, Walter. We're allowed to have fun here in Connecticut, apparently. So,
we're not going to talk about the fun they've been having in Virginia lately, but we'll just move on from that one.
Yeah,
all I know is I keep getting pestered with these tweets about how little wins the Orioles are going to have this year. That's all I get. I get tagged in the tweets. Hey, look, the Orioles are projected to win. They have like this much chance to break the record for most losses.
Well, you know what? That's one that you're kind of big on too, right here. Well, at least your number compared to the Vegas number on the Orioles is a 10 win difference. So obviously something is going into that. And is there any, like, what do you think that is?
Right. So I think that right off the bat, this is one where I'm just not, because there's not a human being doing this, like, I'm not looking at it going, oh man, the Orioles, you know, I feel this way about it. I feel that way about it. Or, you know, some of the high win totals, I think the Yankees right now are projected to 105 wins, which is like, that's pretty aggressive. It's a very high number, but I'm not putting my own sort of like subjective feeling into it. Whereas the number that Vegas casinos put up are in many ways 100% subjective in that. Right. They are not going to put a number and let people place bets on a number that is so far out of whack that they'll only take bets on one side of it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, if they put 50 as the number for the Orioles, they would take 99% of their bets on the over.
Right.
And regardless of what the Orioles do, that's bad business for a casino, because they're almost for sure going to pay out. They want to sit 50-50,
yep.
Right? Because they're going to take a rake on it, and we can get into all that. But, like, you know, they want to sit as close to 50-50 as possible. So they are not only looking at what their numbers and their data analysis says the Orioles will do, they're looking at it, where are people going to bet? right. on the Orioles. Yep. And so they've picked, I think right now I've got 60.5. I do have to manually update these Vegas numbers when I see major changes. So right now I've got them at 60.5. I think that's where they are on like Bovada and a few other places. And obviously my system says there's no the chances of them actually winning that many currently sit at 1.9%. I think there's a 1.9% they win 61 or more games.
Yeah.
And in fact, speaking of that that magical 43 number, it's currently about a 12.2% chance that they win fewer than 43 games. So obviously not a good chance, but it's up over 10% again. So yeah,
that's bad. Yeah, that's bad.
And that's actually something you can do on the site is you can go to a team's page and type in where it says Vegas number. You can type in any number you want and hit enter, and the chance the percentage will change. We'll update. And so if you want to check, if you're getting a different number from your bookie, casino, whatever, you can check what Tomi thinks about that particular number, or you can check for things like 116, right, which is the record, or 43, and see what a team's chances are to break those records.
Wow. I mean, Walter, it's just sad right now. It really is. Yankees sitting there with 105, Orioles sitting there with 50. I love it right now. If there's one thing to hang my hat on this season, it might be that. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, to brag to an Orioles fan isn't really saying much. So
I don't get to brag to you often enough, so when I can, I'm going to relish in it.
I just like that the Yankees fans are so quiet right now after the beatdown the Red Sox put on them.
All right. Well, we're here to talk to Steve Paolo tonight. So
you guys go ahead. I'm fine.
Actually, I'm sure Steve isn't a fan of – doesn't like Yankees fans either.
No.
As an A's fan.
As a diehard A's fan, I can't stand either the Yankees or Red Sox. So, you know, both of those teams can
– I'm with you there. I don't like either. So we can unite over that as
– There you go.
As teams that have constantly been beat up by both of them.
I mean, it's fun. Why don't you ask another question, Walter, while I get over that one?
Yeah, so where are you pulling your data from to pump into this, this model?
So I'm doing a few different places. So right now I'm pulling some of the projection data from Baseball Prospectus. I want to start using my own data. I actually 10 years ago wrote a system for projecting individual players that was also a backronym called Catfish. It's pretty worse for the wear. Like I would need significant updates to it to like make it modern enough to use here. So I'm sort of focusing on this part of it now. But eventually I want to use my own data projections for that. The other stuff, there's a really great commercial sports API, sports data API called My Sports Feeds. That's where I get stuff like last year's stats and you know, all kinds of like player data. That's where I'm going to end up getting game day lineup data, which is sort of the secret sauce or, you know, magic ingredient to the eventual like daily predictions that Tomi's going to make. What else? There's like one. Major League Baseball itself has a data feed for transactions. And so I scan through those looking for waiver claims, teams releasing guys, signing free agents, trades, et cetera, on a daily basis to see what's changed and trying to bring that in. Obviously, really only caring when a player moves from one team to another, because that's going to change potentially the prediction.
Okay, yeah, that's good. I do have a question. Was Catfish, was that before catfishing was a thing?
Yes, it was. That was from like 2007. And as an A's fan, it was obviously in reference to Jim Catfish Hunter. It actually was, not only was it a backronym in that I came up with the name first ever, but here's another nerdy wordplay for you. It was also a recursive acronym, which means that the first letter in Catfish actually stands for catfish. So it was Catfish, a trending forecast, including simple heuristics. And I hope to bring that back, probably during the season this year is when I'll have time to work on that. Yeah. So the idea with this and the whole Pastime Labs Twitter thing is that this is what I'm hoping is going to become sort of a self-sufficient sports data enterprise. So that's it's going to include projections of different kinds. And Tomi is just where I've decided to start.
So I'm guessing if you're going to do that, then you'll be doing season. I guess you would be doing season-long player projections, and then I guess daily player projections. And
so as of right now, my intent is not to try to do daily player stat projections. My intent is to look at, for the daily predictions that Tomi is going to try to do, what it's going to look at is say, here's the baseline sort of starting lineup that this team would have if everyone were healthy, you know, everybody that's on the roster that the start of the season, this is basically what the roster looked like, or the lineup rather looked like, that led Tomi to predict, you know, whatever, 98 wins for the Astros, 105 wins for the Yankees. Then we've got to look at, well, who's hurt, who's getting a day off, in an American League team playing in a National League park, which player's not going to be DHing, right, and not playing. And then, of course, we would look at a pitching rotation of five starters to get the sort of season-long prediction. What would that have looked like if the same guy was in all five of those slots, if that makes sense? Mm-hmm. The idea being, you then are looking at, this team went from being like, you know, a 5-10 winning percentage team to like a 5-60 because their aces is pitching and all their team is healthy. And these other guys over here went from a 5-60, which would have been better than the 5-10, but they dropped down to a 4-80 because they've got their fifth starter going and their two biggest hitters are hurt. Right. And then we compare and look and see, well, who's got the better odds of winning? What exactly are those odds? Like, what is the percentage exactly of each team's chance to win? And what does that look like when you look at lines available, again, at your favorite wagering outlets, and say, well, Vegas, for you know, to kind of refer to the generic sort of world of wagering, thinks the Yankees are going to beat the Orioles, but today I've got this good idea, the Orioles will actually beat the Yankees, and here's why.
And I guess it wouldn't even have to be that the Orioles beat the Yankees. You would say they have a 30% or 40% chance to win, but they're plus however much.
Right. Yeah, so that's called
it's actually a good line for you.
Exactly. That's called plus expected value wagering, and that's like a hard thing for a lot of people to wrap their heads around, but you nailed it. Like, basically any time that the odds of the event occurring are better than what the implied odds of the line you're getting is, that's a good bet to make, even if you don't think that it'll come out your way. Because if you do that all the time, then the times it does come out your way are going to make up for so many of the misses, right? That's the idea. And so that's what Tomi is going to get into once the season starts, is basically allowing people to sign up for subscriptions to see plus EV bets where Tomi thinks Team A is going to beat Team B, and then bets where Tomi thinks Team A will win and the bet is a plus EV bet, that kind of thing.
You're definitely going to get a subscription from me. I'm going to probably text my entire group of degenerates.
Yeah, I know Paul likes betting on games.
Well, and the beauty for you, Paul,
is about NBA games that he's been betting.
Oh yeah, no, it's bad in college. That's what it is. It's the NCAA games.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah,
it's the damn mid majors that get me. I'm like sitting here watching like Grambling and Texas Southern at like 11 p.m. at night in January. Like, it's bad.
You know, Paul, like every good degenerate, I have a system, and my system told me to put money on San Diego State last night, and I missed the window because I was busy putting my kids to sleep.
Oh, no. So
that's a miss.
Kids are important.
Yeah. But yeah, actually, Paul, good news for you. The entire months of March and April for Tomi will be free. Oh, I'm going to let people sign up and subscribe for free. And then after that, there will be like daily, weekly, and monthly like subscription packages. But I'm going to do the first month and a half or whatever that is, you know, 6-5 weeks for free, because if the system crashes and burns, I won't have taken anyone's money myself.
Right.
And I can just shut it off and pretend like it never happened.
Cool. That's a good thing to do, though. Like, I mean, at least it's a moral way of doing things. You're not going to take people's money. You're a good guy.
Well, and the system is going to be, you know, you're going to have to sign up to get the, like, you know, what the picks are before the game starts. But after the games are done, I plan on having a very public history of, well, here are the picks Tomi picked. Here were the outcomes. If you were following along, here's how this would have affected your bankroll. And there's going to be a whole, you know, page of that sort of history, so that you'll be able to look and say, well, if I had, you know, been following along and I had done this, you know, method, the plus EV method or the plus EV wins or whatever it is, I'd be up 2 units, or I'd be up 5 units or whatever, or I'd be down 2 units or whatever. You know, it's going to be kind of that thing. And of course we'll have explanations for the lay people about what a unit is and what that means, and et cetera, et cetera. And the emails that people will be getting will tell them, not only does Tomi think this is the wager to play, but it's a half unit, it's a 1 unit, it's a 1.5 unit, it's a 2 unit, et cetera.
Right. So the confidence level will be there for people if they want to get into it like that. All right.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, yeah. Walter, any questions for him?
No. I think you covered all of it. I think it's really interesting, especially because I know we've talked about like your background and everything that you do and all that stuff and how much work you've actually put into it. So I always thought it was pretty interesting because we met just to get background. We met on Twitter and then you joined our Dynasty League that I and I guess Paul run.
I don't run it. No, you don't have to give me that credit, Walter. You really don't. It's fine. But, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, you're in our Dynasty League, so we've chatted up over the past year just about. And I remember you were talking about it last year about who you liked based on your Tomy projections, and then kind of just became a thing. And then you made it like into a bigger thing. I'm really going to be looking forward to seeing how it comes out.
Yeah, me too.
And I mean, I have one question though.
Yeah.
Opening day. Right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a beautiful day, I'm sure, in Oakland, where you are, wherever you are over there. And somewhere in California, it doesn't matter. It's going to be beautiful opening day. Really doesn't matter.
Somewhere within 2.5 hours of your job.
Jeez, yeah. What wine are you drinking?
On opening day, let's see, we're talking March. Actually, well, now, of course, A's opening day is in Japan, right? And it's in mid-March this year in Japan.
Okay. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, so I excuse me, I couldn't.
Okay, the true opening day.
Yeah, like real, like the real American opening day. Yeah, which wine are you drinking?
Well, there's only one wine to celebrate an immense event that is opening day, guys. You got to break out the champagne, break out the sparkling.
All right,
it's the only way to do it.
There you go.
So I have a question for you. As a person who does not drink very much. What is a good wine for me to get? And I like kind of sweet things, but not super sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's actually a great question.
Kind of cheap.
It's a good question. Maybe we should like let your listeners know real quick. Walter and Paul are asking me questions about wine because I am a certified sommelier. It's not what I do for a living, but it is.
But in his downtime when he's not projecting every single win total for the Major League Baseball teams and working on more of that stuff, you also have a
and then also a certified sommelier. And kids and
yeah, day job and kids, you know. But anyway, whatever. So yeah, Walter, to your point, I think that one of the easiest wines to drink for people who don't drink a lot of wine, that's also relatively easy to find and delicious, pretty much any Pinot Noir. And I think specifically if you're gonna kind of find something specific, looking for Sonoma County Pinot Noir. The stuff from Russian River Valley is fantastic, but it's going to run you a little more money. You're going to be talking like $30 a bottle, which for somebody who doesn't drink very often is probably not the price point you want to hit. But if you go to your supermarket and you look for Sonoma County Pinot or even just California Pinot Noir, there's a lot of good choices. They're all going to have just a little bit of like that fruity sweetness that people like in wine. But it's not, you know, it's not crazy. It's, you can still have it with food. It's not going to like overpower, you know, the palate. It's not a dessert wine or anything. And you can find good ones around $15 to $20 a bottle. So.
All right. That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, it was a pleasure having you, Steve, at Steve Paulo on Twitter, at Pastime Labs, Pastime Labs. Sorry, gotta get that out clearly because it's going to be worth your follow for sure. And make sure you're looking for those subscriptions when they come out and go check out the projected standings on there right now because it's all great stuff. And the FAQs is a really good section just if you want to like go over everything in your own time and read everything that Steve was explaining at the beginning of the podcast. It's pretty much all there for you in an easy digestible form. So, thanks for coming on, Steve, taking the time. And I mean, you probably got to go run and do like some sort of international project right now. So, we'll let you go. And, is there anything that you want to say before we head out?
No, I think that's it. I want to thank you guys for having me on and letting me sort of talk the entire time about this because it's something that I put a lot of energy into, a lot of work, and I think, you know, it's going to be – I'm going to enjoy it, but I really think it's going to be good for people who aren't me. So I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, definitely. Walter, I mean, I'll give you one more shot if you have anything to say before we get out of here.
One more shot? Yeah. I think it's good that we got you on here. We got you on here before you become big in the baseball world. We'll just know where you started.
Yeah,
there you go. Seriously. I won't forget you guys.
I hope not.
No. Don't forget your dynasty team. It needs some help.
It needs a lot of help. It needs a lot of help.
Some of us aren't as well off as others, Walter.
Hey, it's okay. He can do his own projections and project all that stuff. I think he's doing just fine.
Yeah, definitely. Well, for all of us at Real Fake Baseball and Steve Paulo, thanks for coming on. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.